Well, I certainly enjoyed that this morning. It's a great blessing to be able to reap the fruits of Brother Joe's labors and his study and his meditation. He has certainly demonstrated this morning that, as Brother Clem said, he hadn't been no lazy preacher. He has been studying, and I have enjoyed reaping the fruits of the good preaching that we've been hearing, not just this morning, but our Wednesday nights on Zoom. It's all been so good, and it's been such a blessing, and certainly we are thankful to be here with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to Psalm 55. I want to read about a time when David was like the servant of Elisha. You know, Brother Joe's opening text, it's a good thing, it's a pleasant thing to behold the sun. You know, the sun is a picture of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us in Malachi 4:2 that to them that look for him shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That sun there is a capital S, and it's spelled S-U-N. And the sun we have in the sky is a picture of Jesus. And what a pleasant thing it is to be able to see Jesus. And when we are in the midst of our difficult times, that's who we need to see. Notice here in Psalm 55, verse 1, he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Now, does that sound like a condition that you would like to find yourself in? And yet, the longer we live in this world, the more common our experience will be. And realizing that this world is no friend to the truth. This world is no friend to the child of God. In fact, the Bible says that this world is the enemy of God. And here he's in a very difficult condition. And maybe we find ourselves in a similar condition. But this is what he says in verse 6, and this is what I'd like to notice with you. "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Now, if you've ever been in such a terrible condition, and you can relate to this desire, that I had wings like a dove, that I could fly away, be at rest. Be away from all the strife. You know, that song we sang this morning that we're dwelling in Beulah Land starts with "far away the noise of strife." You know, we're talking about Wednesday night, Brother Philip preaching about the mountain. When you go up the mountain, you get away from all the strife and all the noise and all the problems down below. And the church should be that place of refuge for us. And get away from this world for a little while. And as we think about the rest here, I'd like to turn back with you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3. And I want us to think about that thought, having wings like a dove and flying away and being at rest. And I want to show you this morning that you can fly away and be at rest. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" I'll tell you, Ruth was not an Israelite. She was from Moab. Naomi was. And if you are a member of the church and you've been enjoying the kingdom here, we ought to be like Naomi here and try to seek for others to enjoy the rest that we find here. Because, after all, there is a rest for the people of God. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." If you have come to Jesus in baptism, taking His yoke upon you, then you enjoy that gift from Jesus of rest. And what kind of rest are we talking about? Brother Joe was talking about natural eyesight and spiritual eyesight. Well, there's spiritual rest and there's natural rest. And Jesus is talking about rest for your soul. That's what He says later on. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you shall find," and He says, "you shall find rest for your souls." And here Naomi is seeking rest for Ruth, that it may be well with her. And the one who's surrounded by the enemy and wants to have wings like a dove, that he may fly away and be at rest. And here Naomi is going to tell Ruth how. How will she find this rest, that it may be well with her? And not to get into the details of this, but she goes on and tells her to go to Boaz, who's a picture of Jesus. And she tells him, verse 3, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man till he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, and thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie." Remember, he's a picture of Jesus. "And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Now, she gives her specific instructions of how to wash herself, anoint herself, put on certain garments, tells her to go and find him where he lays down. Where he lays down. Now, hold on to that thought. As we get to the end of this, the end of this chapter, she did everything that was told of her, and she came back home to Naomi. And now notice verse 18, the last verse of this chapter. This is what Naomi says. "Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Now notice, she said, "I'm seeking rest for you," when she does all that was told her to do. Then she says, "Well, the man, he's not going to rest until he finishes it today." All right? Turn me to Isaiah chapter 62. And I want us to notice something here. And I hope this comes around full circle to where Brother Joe is preaching here in Isaiah chapter 62. This is what the Lord says in verse 1. He says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest." Now, does that sound a lot like what she said about Boaz? He says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until..." This is, he's got to finish something, you understand. "Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Now, this is what the Lord's, the work that He is going to do, and He's not going to stop. He's not going to rest until He's done it. And what is it? It involves two things: righteousness and salvation. You know, the number one problem that you and I have, if we really boil it all down to one problem, the number one problem that we all face in our life and the world in which we live and all the situations we face is one thing, and it's sin. Sin is the problem. But Jesus came to save us from our sins, and in saving us from our sins, He imputed righteousness to us. Now, Brother Joe talked about Him shining in our hearts, and that's different than what we do in shining a flashlight into the darkness, because you remember what it said there: God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. God can take something that's dark and make light come out of it. We could never do that. But He says, "Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation," He's coming to save us, "thereof as a lamp that burneth." It comes back to light. You remember, God has certainly saved us from our sins. He's given us His righteousness as a garment to put on, and He's imputed His righteousness of Christ into us. But as Brother Morgan was telling us last Sunday, the gospel, according to 2 Timothy 1:10, it brings life and immortality to light. What do we have here in the house of God? What kind of rest do we experience? We rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the gospel shines a light on that. As Brother Joe explained to us, there's knowledge that comes with that. There's knowledge and understanding that comes with that. Turn me to Psalm 132. God said He will not rest until He's done this. Well, I want to prove to you in this 132nd Psalm that He did it. He's through. You know, you don't finish the work until it's done. You know, the high priest in the tabernacle, there was no place to sit down. There was no chair to sit down. They were always on their feet working. It was a work that they did continually. But Jesus came as our high priest. You know where He is right now? He is sitting on the right hand of God. Why is He sitting down? Because the work's over. He finished the work the Father gave Him to do. And now notice what He says here in Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His habitation. This is My rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Now notice, God declares that He's chosen Zion. That's what we just read in Isaiah 62. God would not rest. He would not be at peace for Jerusalem's sake, for Zion's sake. He's chosen Zion. And He's desired it for His habitation. That's where He lives, you understand. Zion is where He lives. And He says, this is My rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Here will I dwell. I've desired it. This is the place of God's rest here in Zion. Turn me to Revelation chapter 12. And once again, we want to notice some things that Brother Joe mentioned and point out that to us here. In Revelation chapter 12, we're told about a woman. Very mysterious. Who she is, where she came from, what's the story behind who she is. By trust in the things that we're going to look at this morning, some of that will become clear. In Revelation 12, verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, if I said it's mysterious, the Bible just said that too. There's a great wonder. What is this? There's a woman, and her clothing is the sun. Her clothing is the sun. Now, if we're talking about the light and Jesus, the sun is a picture of Jesus, her clothing. You know, I find that the Bible describes righteousness like clothing, something you put on. It says in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But it tells us that we are granted the righteousness of Christ. It tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this woman's clothed with the sun. Moon's under her feet. She has a crown of 12 stars. And she is pregnant. She's got a child about to be born. And she delivers that child. And if you keep reading this chapter, you'll find that that child was Jesus, the Son of God. This woman had one job. She did it. But there was an enemy there. We talk about being surrounded by the enemy. She's about to give birth to this child. And notice what it says about this. That there is another wonder in heaven, verse 3. A great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. This is the thing of science fiction. What is this dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, tell you, when our children were born, we had doctors and nurses there ready to help our child. And here this woman's about to deliver this child, and there's a dragon there to devour the child as soon as it's come. You know, sometimes it feels like the odds are against us. It's just not going to work out. The enemy's too strong. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you look at this scene, You would say, this woman's in a helpless state. How can she fend off this enemy and give birth to this child? How is she going to do that? Well, the Bible tells us that as soon as this child was born, verse 5, he was caught up to God and to his throne. I tell you, sometimes we overestimate the power of our enemy and underestimate the power of our God to save us and to deliver us. But this is the part that I want to skip. There's so much in this, but we're going to skip to go to the place where it talks about what happens next for this woman. It says in verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth a man-child." Jesus says, in this world life ye shall have tribulations. There will be persecutions, and the source of them is not from this political party or this group of people or that group of people. The source of them is the devil himself. Say, well, how do we know this dragon is the devil? If you go back to verse 9, it clearly states he is the devil. The dragon, the devil, Satan, that's who he is. That is our enemy. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with the devil and his angels and his forces. That is who our enemy is. And he comes to persecute this woman, which brought forth a man-child, because he's been cast down. Notice verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place." I like that. Into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now it says it's given to the woman two wings of a great eagle, where she might fly into her place. I'm going to tell you this morning, you have a place. You have a place given to you by God, and it's a place of rest, a place where you can rest from the trials and tribulations of this life. You can fly into this place of rest. Turn me to Isaiah chapter 40. And I want you to notice the similarities here in the 40th chapter of Isaiah to what we just read about this woman. Because, you know, when I was in the Air Force, there are some things I learned about flying. And if you ever stand by a runway and watch planes take off, one thing that you will notice when you watch, if sometimes the planes take off this way, sometimes they take off that way. But if the planes are taking off this way, they will continue to take off this way. And if the planes are taking off that way, they will continue to take off that way. Why? Because planes always take off into the wind. The wind pushes underneath the wings and lifts them up, and that's how they take off and how they fly. Sometimes when it seems like in this life, when we're faced with an opposing wind, that is the time the child of God needs to spread his wings. Because the Bible, there's a song, it's not in our song book, it's in the old Casey book. It says, "Give me the wings of faith that I may rise." I tell you, the Lord's given us the wings. We just need to spread them in the time of the opposing wind, the contrary wind, and fly above all these trials. Notice here in Isaiah 40 what it says in the last part of this chapter. It says in verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Notice it says there's a certain type of people that wait upon the Lord. Now, Brother Mickey pointed out to me this week, we were exchanging messages. Some of the newer mistranslations of the Bible says they that wait for the Lord. That's not what it says. It says they that wait upon the Lord. I always say, well, what's the difference? Wait for the Lord, wait upon the Lord. Well, last night we went out to eat and ate at this new restaurant in town, and we had a waitress that waited upon us. She didn't usually wait for us. We were waiting for her. But she seemed real nervous. I don't know if it was her first night, but when she took our order, she wrote a whole book on her. I don't know what she was writing, but it took her a while. And she just got confused really easily. But she was trying. My heart really went out to her. I felt bad for her. We weren't trying to confuse her or trip her up, but it seemed like whatever we did would trip her up. But she was waiting upon us, you understand. And I'll tell you, when it comes to what you and I ought to be doing, it's not just simply twiddling our thumbs and waiting for something to happen. We are to be waiting upon. We're to be serving the Lord. What did Naomi tell Ruth to do? Go to His feet. You know where our proper place is at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Serving Him, the servant of the Lord, is our description. And when it comes to serving the Lord, what you really find is your responsibility to do, if you're going to serve the Lord, is to serve His people. Serve the ones who are His people out in this world. You know, there are some people out in this world that you could help out that could never help you back. They can never repay you back. And if you go and do that, then you are loving them the way the Lord's loved us. We could never pay Him back for what all He's done for us. Yet He's helped us and done these things for us. We are to wait upon the Lord. And this text tells us we'll renew our strength. And not just that, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. Don't you want to fly spiritually? You know, some people are afraid of heights and don't want like flying. That's fine. But when it comes to spiritually, don't you want to fly and soar above all the trials of this life? You know, Brother Philip was telling us Wednesday night about being on the mountaintop. And that's a great blessing, but I actually want to go higher. I want to go above the mountaintop. I want to fly. I want to soar with wings as eagles. Because when you're up there, you actually have the perspective that the Lord has. You see things the way the Lord does. You know, yesterday and today, this morning, it's been real cloudy and gloomy. That gets people down. Now, they can't see the sun, Brother Joe. Can't see the sun. But, you know, I've flown enough on commercial airline flights that the sun's still shining. Once you fly and get above the clouds, there's the sun. And wouldn't it be wonderful in this gloomy, dark time to spread our wings and fly and see the sun? No matter what the weather is below, no matter what the conditions are below, you can fly for a little while and have His perspective. Oh, to have His perspective. Brother Joe talked to us about eyesight. Oh, what a blessing for that servant to have Elisha's perspective and to realize there's more with us than there are with them. Ah, I tell you what. That's always the case for the child of God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. I tell you, the Lord's perspective will teach us that. We need His perspective to be able to see the things the way the Lord sees them. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Like a dove. We're talking about wings of an eagle here. But you know, a dove's a very humble creature. A dove is a very peaceful creature. Dove is a symbol of the church in the Song of Solomon. Noah actually sent a dove out of the ark. The dove is a symbol of the Lord's church. He says, my dove, my undefiled. You know, we all have, I guess, pet names for one another. We call each other honey or sugar or whatever. The Lord calls us dove. But when He calls us that, His pet name actually has a meaning attached to it. Not just how He affectionately refers to it, it actually means something. A dove, very peaceful creature, a dove that can fly. And when Noah sent that dove out of the ark, that dove came back. Why? It says it found no rest for the soles of its feet. Found no rest. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there is a rest for the people of God. A rest that He's given us here in His church. A rest that you can find. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, He says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Rest for your soul. What a blessing. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest. If you are in that condition, I want you to know, when the winds blow the hardest towards you, it's time to spread your wings and run right towards them, and you'll take off and fly. And oh, the Lord be our helper. What a blessed rest that would be. And I'll tell you, whenever we go and leave this life, I've been talking to Brother Jeb Owen. His grandfather's not going to be around much longer. His birthday is October the 30th, this week, and he'll turn 101. They're not sure he's going to make it. And, you know, I've thought about that, you know, actually, where Brother Curtis is headed, where his wife already is, oh, so much better off over there. He's going to be so much better off over there. And what a blessing to find true rest. The Bible tells us that in Job chapter 3, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There is a rest that when you die in the Lord, you find rest. A rest that never ends. A rest up in heaven's glory. In fact, Isaiah 11 verse 10 describes it this way. His rest shall be glorious. And oh, we have something to look forward to this morning. I thank you for your good attention this morning.